Jim, this is an important list from Hunter Tiger. Hey guys, how are you going? If Moses Mbai gets sin-binned for what he did to Darius Bennett, oh, Darius Boyd.
Yes, yes.
Why the hell did Blake Green not get sin-binned yesterday?
I didn't see that incident.
Neither do I, no. And yes, Jimmy, players make mistakes too, but referees don't make 25 tackles, 15 hit-ups, up and off the ground, up and back in defence. The referees only have to keep the eye on the play.
Yes, but they make 6,000 discretionary decisions through the course of a game. Mm. So you expect them to get a few wrong, but you don't mind them putting their hand up and saying they got it wrong, which might lead us directly into Zorba's first point. Actually, before we get to Zorba's first point that he wants to talk about, I want to talk about the passing of the legendary Cliff Watson. So we'll say good morning to Zorb. G'day, Zorb.
Good morning, Ray. Good morning, Jimmy. Yeah, Cliffy Watson, what a great guy. I only spoke to him around about 6 months ago.
Is that right?
I love Cliffy Watson. I didn't love playing against him. One of the toughest men I've ever seen on a football field. And it was 45 years ago in September that I played in the grand final against him. And I'll never forget running onto the field and the tension in that game. I know that, you know, I know how I was feeling, and Cronulla had already been on the field for a few minutes, and the first sight I saw was leaning against the upright at the Paddington end of the field was Cliff Watson, like he was just standing there waiting for just a normal game to begin. And his clash with John O'Neill in that game, two of the toughest men ever to play rugby league, and both have sadly passed. And it's incredible, Ray and Jim, about 4 weeks ago, I got an email from out of nowhere from a 14-year-old boy who was Cliff Watson's godson. Mm. And he asked me, he was doing a school project, and would I give him some information on what I thought of Cliffy Watson. And I did that with great pride. And to that young fellow and to the Watson family, they made their home in Australia after Cliffy came out to play with Tommy Bishop, and my deepest sympathies go to them.
Yeah, well said, Zorb.
Yeah, well said. But hey, Pete, just quickly on Cliff then, a lot is obviously made of how tough he was and the enforcer-type role he played, and he's legendary for that. But as a footballer, can you give us an insight into Cliff Watson, the footballer?
Oh, well, he could unload like no one else, you know, in pressure situations. And scrums were scrums then as well. And, you know, he answered an ad in a paper. He was a rugby union player just outside of his home in St Helens. And he answered he was a coal miner. He answered an ad in the London Times for professional rugby league players. And that's how he started the game. And within 6 months, he was playing for England.
Yeah, great story. All right, let's get to modern matters. Dean Pay, I think, I hate when the coaches go out and use the referees as a crutch. I understand why Dean was upset, but you think, where's the fine?
Oh, he's got to be fined. You can't. Mm. He didn't leave anything to chance. And I get the impression that the board members there said, listen, go for your life. We'll back you up. 20,000, 10,000, whatever it's going to be. But you just can't do it. And he's entertaining to watch the coach's box, isn't he? He dies 1,000 deaths. Oh, yeah. He's going to age pretty quick. He's 8 weeks into his NRL career as a coach. He needs to check out what he can and can't say, though. But, you know, his first fine is on its way, and then he'll be a bona fide coach. They're not going too bad, the Bulldogs. Like, they're going better than sides above them, I reckon, and only two wins. They'll get some wins shortly, and they're not far from it. They got two lucky tries on that really shifting surface. We're used to
terrible.
The 15 playing surface at Suncorp.
Yeah.
It was like a potato patch the other night, on Thursday night, and we saw two mistakes in retrieving kicks by Jack Bird and also by their skipper at the back, Darius Boyd.
Yep.
And they both led the tries to the Bulldogs. So I reckon they were lucky tries, but the sin binning, I don't think the referee had any choice in that, but I am starting to worry about the sin binning for the for being offside in front of your post. Yeah. I thought that game last night was spoiled in Auckland. It was a real contest, but two players from the Tigers and one from the Warriors being sent. But it's just too big a price to pay. 10 minutes is a long time to be one man short, and the Warriors exploited that. Blake Green's going to kill you doing that, and he did. Last night, they exploited the one man extra both times and caught the Tigers out, who have hit a bit of a rough patch. I think they'll come back from it. I think they're a better side than they were last year, and that great start won't be for nothing. But I just think there's too much discretion for some. Like, there's no set rule on the sin binning.
Yeah. You
know, like, the warning was before in the first half, and then early in the second half, first infringement, off he went, and the captain said, well, hang on, we didn't get a warning. He said, I gave it to you before half-time. Ben Cummings, I thought, didn't handle that game all that well for an experienced referee, and I think that those incidents had a massive effect on the game.
Mm.
Don't like it at all.
Yeah, we were talking earlier, Jimmy and I, about the sin binning and how it can have such an influence on the outcome of a game. Just back to the playing surfaces, Saul. I know Jimmy talked to social media on Thursday night about the playing surface and the Broncos-Bulldogs game. But what about Brookie? Is there concerns there?
Well, they've had it checked out, and it's come through with a pass. I noticed the rugby played there last night.
It'd
be interesting to see if they have any complaints. Look, Brookie's been Brookie for... it hasn't changed since Jimmy and I played there.
Yeah.
And I played there a lot earlier than Jimmy. So, like, it's not up to the modern day standards, and something needs to be done. There's no doubt about it. I love having the club that I love play out of there, but it's not up to standard. Way from it.
Is Manly for sale, Zorb?
Well, anything's for sale, I understand. Look, it's got nothing to do with me. It's my family that own the club, but look, everything's got a price. But I whenever I speak to them, there's no signs of that. But it's interesting that there's some people circling, by all accounts, whether they're bona fide or not, I don't know.
Right. Well, that was going to be my question: is there legitimacy to Kaspersky boss Harry Chung and a Qatari bid that we're reading about today? Is there any legitimacy to those bids?
I'd say Kaspersky are 100 to 1.
Right.
Because of things that happened in the past.
Right.
I can't see that ever happening. Don't know about if there's oil money behind the bid from Qatar, then obviously the Penn family would have to look at it. But I know Rick and Scott and Heather and Mark all want to leave a good legacy. They'd like to see Brookvale up and be a modern boutique stadium before they walked away, and if they could leave it in better hands, then they would.
The other thing that I think took a lot of people by surprise, a lot of people close to Trent Barrett, is that he didn't walk during the week. You mentioned last week how close you thought he was at different stages. How close do you think did he get this week?
Oh, I don't think it was close at all. I think it was a massive setup. I mean, how many times do you... do you suddenly see a camera appear when a player's going in to see a lawyer? I mean, they knew exactly where Trent was with his manager, Wayne Beavis. Wayne's been around a long time, and he's pretty good at that sort of thing. I think it was a blatant setup to force the club into a situation. I didn't take any notice of it, because as soon as I saw it on television, I said, well, this is a setup. Been around too long to swallow that one, Jimmy.
And so just on that, no COO, no recruitment officer, no football manager?
Well, there was a recruitment officer. Manly won the Matthews Shield yesterday. They were in the grand final last year in it. They won the under-20s last year for the first time. This is the first time they've won the Matthews Shield. Our junior reps have never been better. And
so is that Scott Fulton?
That's Scott Fulton. He's done a great job there.
So why was Peter O'Sullivan interviewed during the week?
Well, I don't know. And that's nothing to do with me in the club. But I just want to say what a great job young Scott's done. And we've got some of the most talented young players coming through of anybody in the NRL. I mean, for Manly to beat Parramatta, when you look at their junior league and how many players they've got to pick from, in a game like that, is just an enormous effort. Full marks to the kids and their coaching staff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Saul, back to the footy. South Sydney 36, Newcastle 18. I thought South were again very good. They're 5-3. They've got a great attacking brand of footy this season. They're great to watch.
Yes.
Kalyn Ponga again outstanding for the Knights.
Oh, how good is he, and how good can he be?
Yeah.
He's had 17 games in the NRL. Round 3 last year, I watched him as a skinny fullback for the Cowboys against Manly, and he's not a skinny fullback anymore. Mm. Fast forward 12 months, he's a genuine superstar in the making, a special player, especially with a ball in his hands. He's a genius. Mm. His long passing is spot on. His short passing to put players through gaps, that doesn't normally come until you've been in the NRL for 100 games. This kid, as I said, 17th game he was playing. He puts his teammates into open space for tries. Exciting runner. He's a good defender. He's good under the high ball. In a beaten side, 36 to 18, they were beaten. He was just sensational. And, gee, you've got to look at him for a possible Dally M winner.
Well, he's leading the comp at the moment. And you would have thought he might have got some points on Friday night. I didn't see who was covering that one. The other one...
We know who wasn't covering it.
No, we know who wasn't covering. And look, this is an interesting one. I was talking about this to someone yesterday and with Ruan Sims and you know, people say yay and nay. And
I applaud her courage for coming out and saying, look, I made a bad mistake. I'm stepping down.
However, she did the wrong thing. She did the wrong thing.
And she's admitted to it.
And she's admitted to it. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
She's done the right thing in that regard.
You got some news on the Raiders for us?
Yeah, look, I'm hearing, and it's amazing, that the big men are commanding big dollars now. The Raiders props, Junior Paulo, Shane Boyd, both up. They're prime beef at the moment. The Raiders want to retain both players, but they're not going to get into a price war, and they're not going to be able to afford them. They're struggling in the face of huge offers. Parramatta have offered $800,000 for Junior Paulo a season, and the Titans are just under $750,000 for Shannon Boyd. Now, that's a lot of money for those big fellas. Mm.
Well, I have it. I heard during the week that he had knocked back the final offer from the Canberra Raiders. Shannon Boyd said it wasn't up to the mark. So he was almost game changing yesterday. He was fantastic.
He was good, and against the side that he'll probably be joining. So he probably said, "Hey boys, put another $50,000 on."
Absolutely. Absolutely. You've seen players do that before.
Raiders are going good, aren't they? Four out of five now.
They've turned it around, haven't they?
They've got two of the next three games at home, and the other one is in Mudgee. So they'll like that, and they'll get good support there. They're building up. Don't forget they've got Josh Hodgkin to come back well before the finals.
Yes.
And the hooker that's in there at the moment is doing a good job for them. So they're not missing Hodgson as much as we thought they might, but he'll be great to come back in with probably a half a dozen games under his belt before the finals, if they can make it.
Two fascinating games today. Dragons, Melbourne, Roosters, Manly. Where are you going for your zapper?
I'm going St George Illawarra 1-12 and Gareth Widdop to be the first point scorer in the game with a penalty goal. They'll take it and they'll lead 2-0 over Melbourne. So I'm not going anywhere near the Roosters and the Seagulls. All I'll say is that Manly have great records against two clubs in the NRL. They are the Warriors, who they've got the mock on, and the next one is the Roosters, who they've beaten five out of their last six, but we'll have to pull our socks up today. And can't wait for you guys to bring us the Kentucky Derby. It's a bog over there, as you know. 45 years ago, Secretariat won in record time, 1:59.25, and Manly beat Cronulla in the grand final. Great year.
Good on you,
Zorb.
Done your homework.
Good on you, Zorb. Appreciate that. We'll speak next week.